Life Matters here, and buying sustainably, it's becoming more and more complicated. Is that brand that you see on a shelf really local, or is it just designed here and made overseas, perhaps even under poor labour conditions? Are trees really being planted to offset our air travel? We pay for it, but is it going through? And are your leggings environmentally green because they're made from recycled water bottles? These are the issues that keep me up at night. There's an awful lot to consider, and it's easy to get overwhelmed, especially in November, which is often a big month of sales leading up to Christmas. So what happens when you try to shop sustainably? How do you tell if something's green or just greenwashing? And have you ever been caught out because you've done some research after the fact? Very much like to hear your experiences in this area, because so many of us are trying to do the right thing by the planet and, you know, feel good about that. How's it been in your jungle sort of journey through those distractions of greenwashing? Robin Caniford is a senior lecturer in marketing at the University of Melbourne. Robin, hello. Welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. But when it comes to things we buy, Robin, is it getting harder and harder to know which products are authentic and which ones are just looking like they're authentic?
Actually, I think in some ways it's getting easier and easier, but we're not starting from a good point. We've been starting from a pretty low point. And I think that's what you're referring to here, is this jungle of information that many of us are confronted with, a lot of which we just, you know, can't rely on.
No. So you're saying it actually is easier to tell the hoax from the real deal. So take us through it. What are some of those danger signs that we can actually pick up on quite quickly?
Well, yeah, I mean, when I say it's getting easy 10 years ago, one of the problems that we're facing is that we live in a globalized economy, and our products and services come from all over the world. And companies put together these offerings for us that arrive in our local supermarket. But very often, you know, we don't know what kind of factories or farmland, we don't know the kinds of labor that have been used in that process. Yeah. And I think it's only fairly recently that consumers have become more aware that we need to start paying attention. So I think as time goes on, things are starting to get easier. However, a lot of the information that we are provided with is unregulated. Now, the ACCC are on getting on top of this. There are increasing complaints when people are being misled. And these are the kinds of things that we as consumers face going forwards, and particularly at Christmas.
And this is where it really hits the road, I reckon, Robin, because so many of us, yes, shop online, which means that, again, you're not physically examining all the small print on the back of a product. That can be very difficult. But even in a supermarket or in a shop where you may be buying products that you are believing to be environmentally sustainable, it's so hard to know at point of sale whether you've done enough due diligence.
Yeah, it is really hard, and many of us are busy. And I say, particularly in the run-up towards Christmas, you know, especially at the moment with all of these problems of getting things to Australia from across the world, many of us will feel panic, that sense of, oh my God, I've got to get this done quickly. Those are the circumstances in which we tend to start ignoring or not collecting perhaps as much information as we might. So my recommendation to people is, you know, get moving early. Internet shopping needn't be a bad thing, because actually, you know, you're right there. You can do the research if you want to.
That's true. That's true. So you can go off and check out that name. But I mean, here's another thing that strikes me about this, Robin, is that you can pick up a product that, when you do your research, if you have the time and the effort and you can do it all, improves that this line of product is in fact environmentally sustainable, but they may be part of, in fact, a subsidiary of a much larger corporation or manufacturer who has other lines of product which are totally not sustainable and may be the subject of greenwashing. That's such a difficult issue to deal with.
Yes, indeed, Michael. I think that those kinds of issues are very prevalent. Greenwashing, this idea that consumers are increasingly concerned with the state of the environment, and we would like to buy products that aren't damaging local and global environments. Some less than ethical companies are piggybacking off that to provide their products as a solution to our fears. Now, that's not great marketing. So one of the things I think we need to do is this isn't just a consumer issue. I think it's also a government issue. The environment has certainly been on the agenda for some time now. And it's time, I think many of us would agree, that we begin to, next year's elections, we can vote on these policies. I think that's another thing that we can do to take positive action.
Well, just talking about voting on policies here, are there any governments around the world who have taken strong action regarding the potential of greenwashing, the use of words and imagery that may be misleading?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, Michael. Obviously, recently in the news, we've seen the COP26 summit, and this event almost expresses the frustration and the confusion so many of us experience. Is regulating this going forwards and bringing together all of these different economies and politics, it's extremely difficult. But at the same time, there's some really positive stories. Germany, for example, has had very effective recycling programs for decades. And many of your listeners will be aware that in Germany, if you don't recycle properly, you can be in big trouble and your neighbours will dob you out sometimes. In Australia, things are improving. Even if your plastic that your council might not take away, if you want to take that scrunchy stuff to a local recycling station, if you do the research, very often you can find those facilities.
That's true. I'm also thinking about the way products are made and sold to us too, Robin. So let's just talk about some of the trigger words and images that should make us sort of get our guard up and put our radar out to see if we're being greenwashed. What are some of the... I'm thinking green leaves on products. That's one of the trigger points for me, I think.
Yeah, that's a really interesting issue. As especially those big global companies that you're speaking about, as they've realized that this is an increasingly important issue in their marketing and branding, some of these global conglomerates, big companies, have set up their own accreditation schemes, which they can then stamp on their products. Now, that isn't necessarily regulated. It's kind of dodgy. Now, in some ways, it needn't be all bad. These things, economies and big companies are sort of like your super tanker. They take time to turn around and move in a different direction. But I think, again, the more consumers are aware, the more governments and trade councils can, get on board with the idea that many of us want to do the right thing, I think this will change.
My guest is Robin Caniford, Senior Lecturer in Marketing at the University of Melbourne. And we're discussing here the growing issue of greenwashing and the kind of products that are promoted to us and how we know when we're buying something that's actually rigidige when it comes to environmental sustainability and others that just walk the walk but don't actually talk the talk. Robin, you said something there in that last answer that really kind of alarmed me, because I was going to ask whether accreditation branding, on the fronts of products are things we can believe. But you're now telling me that in some cases, companies who are putting out these products create their own branding of accreditation.
Yes, I mean, that has been the case in some industries. But again, the more that we as consumers get on top of this issue, the more we learn, the less likely we are to be fooled. Now, for every bad scheme there is, it's not all bad news. There are equally trustworthy schemes. But I think the onus at the moment is on us to find out what those are. And I would argue that possibly government regulation going forwards is going to be really important as well, because buying products, and particularly issues of branding, the brand, the packaging we see in the supermarket, it's a bit like being in a theatre. There's a front stage and a backstage. And the front stage is the packaging and the label with, you know, the green leaf or the green frog that makes us feel good about yes. buying a product.
Yes.
But there's a lot of stuff going on in the backstages, you know, the costume designers and script writers. Marketing is the same thing. And unfortunately, the backstage is rather boring. It's full of accounting and the real nitty-gritty. Now, the devil is in the detail. And as consumers, when we're in the supermarket, we don't want to do that. We're busy. When we're approaching Christmas, we don't want to find out all those details because many of us are completely panicked. So again, you know, this is the issue where I think bodies like ACCC, consumer protection bodies, really can come into their own.
Of course, one of the issues in considering whether to buy a product or not these days for many shoppers is air miles. How far has it come, or shipping miles, to get to us on a shelf? And that can be a real factor. However, and here's where it is. So many of us post-pandemic, or I shouldn't say post, we're in it still, but and certainly in post-pandemic freedoms, want to buy more local to support local business. But at the same time, there's the attraction of imports often being cheaper than what we buy local. And when it comes to environmental sustainability, correct me if I'm wrong, Robin, but my sense was that even though we totally believe and support the idea of sustainable product creation, when it comes to the wallet, in the end, the wallet talks first.
Yeah, I mean, this is really a key question. It's all about the bottom line. It's a really difficult issue. Price is, you know, in my home country, the UK, people are very price sensitive. I think one of the things I've noticed living in Australia for 10 years, I think Australian consumers are more willing to buy locally produced goods. And actually, this is a very interesting phenomenon that in the United States, certainly in Australia, with the kangaroo stamp, there's been a very positive and effective movement to encourage people to buy goods produced locally or within the country.
Yeah.
Now, that sets a really nice precedent going forwards for how, if we provide that level of clarity to consumers on packaging, we can make changes. So I would say, you know, one of the most positive things we can do this Christmas is perhaps just buy less, but buy quality. Buy less, but, you know, put in a little bit more money to support your local economy. One of the things people have been doing during the pandemic, of course, is making sure they go out to cafes locally and just keep the local economy ticking. So actually, I think Australian consumers are pretty on top of this stuff and giving each other a fair go.
And Robin, just quickly, jumping on a plane where we might pay a couple of bucks to offset the airfare and the kind of greenhouse gases released by us being on the plane, are they things we can trust?
Well, this is one, you know, I think of very regularly, Michael. I haven't seen my dear mum for a long time now. Offsetting carbon on a flight, this is certainly an area where we may be misled. Carbon credits and offsets in some cases work. In other cases, they are not regulated, and the carbon accounting is an extremely complex,
yes,
transnational thing that needs to be. That's a government job, if you ask me, Michael.
Good. Let's offset it to the government. Robin, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me on. Nice to chat.
Robin Caniford, Senior Lecturer in Marketing at the University of Melbourne. Yes, he's got some air miles on him. He comes from the UK, but I guarantee he is organic and quite recyclable.